Jesus, your presence gives us life. Your word changes us. We are the product of your word. Father, thank you that you have a special word for us again this morning. Lord, I pray that you will release it in our hearts. Let your word come with fire and let your word change us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise one more time. While you're still standing, let's do our Sunday morning confession. Hold your Bible, please. You've got your Bible?
Yes, sir.
Let's go. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do. Every promise in this book is mine.
Every chapter,
every verse, one word from God
can change my life forever.
Today I will be taught the word. My mind is alert.
My heart is ready.
Everything I learn, I'll apply. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at your neighbor and tell them, hello, brighter and brighter.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You can take your seat in the presence of our God. Amen. Are you excited? Are you blessed to be here? Reaching further. We started this series last Sunday, and some of you even went a step ahead and you changed your names. I saw a few people who changed their names on Facebook. And WhatsApp status have also changed. I think my daughter here posted it on Facebook and somebody was like, what? And she said, I will explain. Don't worry, I will explain to you what it means. It is nice to see people responding to the word of God. Do you know why we are responding positively to this message? Because inside each one of us, there is a desire to do just a little bit more. Inside each one of us, there is a yearning to reach a little bit further. It is there. When you sit at home in your house, when you look at what you have achieved, there is inside of you a certain thought that says, it could be more than this. I know I can achieve a little bit more than this. Am I communicating to the right people this morning? And you see, that desire was placed there by God himself. God is the one who gave you that desire. Now, what is reaching further all about? It's all about making progress in every area of your life. We saw last Sunday that your life is not only in one or two dimensions. Actually, your life is multidimensional. You have a social life, you have a financial life, you have a spiritual life, you know, you have, what else? You have a financial life. God wants you to do well financially, by the way. It's not money. Tell your neighbor, money is not bad. Yeah. It is the hand handling money that are bad sometimes, or the heart directing the money. But money itself doesn't really have a problem. Do you understand? Just like a knife is not a bad thing. It depends on who is holding it. You see, the knife in the hand of a chef will bring about the best dish. But the knife in the hand of, you know whom I'm talking about. If the knife is in his hands, you will see for yourself, you will become the dish. You see what I'm saying? So, things are not bad per se. Including marijuana and nyaope. Why am I saying this? They were created by God. Everything God created is good. It is the use or the abuse that is a problem. Do you understand? Anything that is good can be turned into bad, anytime, anywhere, including people. Do you know the person you are dating is not bad? You might be the one making him to be bad. I don't know. Are you listening? The church is not bad. Sometimes it is how you see it. It is what is going on you or in you. That makes there are some people that hate the Bible. Man, the Bible is the word of God. So that was just on the side. Amen? Now, so we've been saying that stagnation is not God's will. To stagnate means to not make progress, to be on the same spot. That thing is not the will of God. God doesn't want you to be on the same spot always. We saw last week God telling the Israelites, you've been on this mountain long enough, move. Because that's not the will of God to be in the same place in any area of your life. And I told you last week that whatever stagnates stinks. Anything that is stagnating will stink after a while. This is why making progress is not optional for the child of God. You must make progress, otherwise you start stinking. And the moment you start stinking, what naturally starts happening to things that stink is that people dissociate themselves from those things. Are you with me so far? That's why it's important to make progress. And we saw last Sunday, you know, I want to show you this scripture again, our foundational scripture. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. How does it shine? Brighter and brighter until midday. Now, the path of the righteous, it means a righteous person has a path. If you like, replace path with the course of a righteous. Replace it with the way of a righteous. Replace it with the journey of a righteous. Replace it with the future of a righteous. Are you listening?
Yes.
Replace it with the movie of a righteous. A righteous person has a movie. You are playing a movie every day. Hebrews 12 tells us that we are surrounded by a multitude of witnesses. It means people are watching you. You are literally playing a movie. Who are watching you? Angels? And other beings. Don't die on your own movie. Don't get killed in your own movie. I mean, I don't like people, even if I'm watching a movie and the main guy in the movie dies, I don't, is it nice that the main person that all your hopes was on this or a certain person and the person dies in the movie? I mean, it just destroys your emotions and takes away your peace and embarrasses you. Praise God. You shall never be an embarrassment in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You shall never be an embarrassment. Hallelujah. Amen. So, let's also look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Just another way to say the same thing. Dear friends, we are God's children. When? Now. We are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. I want to stop on the part A of that verse. The part B of that verse, I will deal with it a bit later. But part A says, what we will be has not yet been revealed. So your life is made up of chapters. Your life is like a book. And it has chapters, it has subchapters and sections. Your life has an introduction, your birth, a preface, and all of that. And there is chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. What is the chapter? It's a new phase of your life. When you are reading a book and you are at the introduction, you have no clue what's going to happen in the book.
The day you were born, people just saw a nice baby, but they don't know what's going to come. I believe the father and the mother of Adolf Hitler invited family for either the naming ceremony or at least just to celebrate that a son is born to this house. They didn't know this man is going to be responsible for the death of 50 million people. What you will be has not yet been revealed. This is to tell you what you are currently is not all there is about your life. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There is far more. And you are coming out slowly. The way you go about it is just like the light of dawn. It starts shining. If you want to understand this message, wake up early tomorrow morning and stand outside your house and watch how the sun starts. At 6 or even at 5, it's still just a little bit of sun. You can even look at it face to face. You can pray, you can send your phone on it and then take a nice picture. 6:30, it's beginning to shine a little bit more. 7 o'clock, it's beginning to really be strong. 8 o'clock, it will be interesting to realize that you can't look at it in the face anymore. That's why I told you last week, you're going to need sunglasses. Because as it begins to rise, you see, it starts shining brighter. That's how the sun is. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And God equates your journey on earth as the sun. It starts small. People can even laugh at you when you start. But you start increasing in intensity and velocity. And before long, people don't see you anymore. They start feeling you. You see, when the sun is at what we call the zenith, you don't need to see it, you will feel it. Wherever you are, underground, on top of it, you will feel it. Especially in Northwest, you will feel it practically. How will you know that the sun has really shone on you? You will start sweating. Some people are already sweating just with your 8 a.m. shining. They are already sweating. I ask myself, what will happen when you hit 10 a.m.? What about when you hit 12 p.m.? If people are already sweating, I mean, if you're already sweating, it's already 8 o'clock in the morning, and you have a long way to go. You shall shine in the name of Jesus. Praise God. My mother in the Lord told us the story of a man who kept saying, I shall be great. I shall be great. I shall be. He died being poor. They wrote on his tombstone, he was meant to be great. What happened? A light that is meant to shine and that got hijacked along the way. What happened? What are the things that can stop you from shining the way you're supposed to shine brighter and brighter? We saw last week as well that Satan is indeed involved in the limitations of mankind, but Satan is not the only enemy involved in your limitations. As a matter of fact, Satan can't do anything to you if he is not permitted to do it. The story of Job shows us that Satan needs permission before he can act on your case. Satan is called the tempter because he can't be the forcer. He tempts, he can't force. He tempts, but the decision is yours to make. So he doesn't have as much power as people think he does. Let me tell you something about Satan. Satan doesn't know everything, by the way. Now, some of you have such an inflated idea about Satan that he is all-knowing. Let me tell you something quickly. Satan cannot be everywhere at the same time. That's why he has demons all over the place. He can't be physically everywhere. For Satan to be in a place, he has to literally go there. Are you listening? Only God is everywhere at the same time. You call that omnipresent. He is everywhere the same way at the same time. Satan is not all powerful again. Why? Because he was created. The Bible says, in the day you were created. So there was a day Satan didn't exist. There was a time Satan didn't exist. So what was happening during the time when Satan didn't exist? We don't know. Some of you that just think Satan is all powerful, you are misled. He was created. And if you are created, it means you have a creator. And no creation is greater than the creator. Any instrument that is created can only be at one place per time. Your cell phone is created. It cannot be everywhere at the same time. And lastly, Satan is not all-knowing. I mean, he doesn't know everything. The Bible says, if the prince of this world had known that what they were doing to Jesus was going to end up where it ended, they were not going to do it. So it means there are certain things they don't know. Oh, I wish you could read some books. You will understand that even angels don't know everything. They only discover it sometimes as it goes. It's important to know, to have knowledge. Amen? All of this story is to make you aware that Satan is not your problem. Tell your neighbor, Satan is not your problem, please. Stop making Satan your main problem. Are you telling your neighbor, Satan is not your problem? Or shall I say, Satan is not your only problem? He is one of your problems, but not the only problem. Now, because humanity likes blaming people, and it feels so nice to have somebody to blame, that's why we always place everything on Satan's head. And can I tell you this morning quickly before I preach that that is how Satan became powerful? The power of Satan came from the blaming game of man. God told man, don't eat of the tree that is in the middle of the garden. The day you eat of it, you will die. Satan wasn't there. But I'm sure when the man was repeating the instruction to the wife, because Satan saw a woman and he started having interest in what was going on. So he heard the man telling him that God said we mustn't do this. So he came to the woman and says, did God really say that? We know the story. End of the story, they all ate the fruit. Now, this is the interesting part. God comes to now bring judgment. But because God is a God of order, even though he knows who messed up, he goes to the person he placed in charge. God went to man, not to woman. Because God never placed the woman in charge. He placed the man in charge. He knew that it is the woman who ate the fruit first. But he never went to the woman to say, what did you do this? He said to the man, Adam, where are you? What is going on? Have you eaten the fruit? Now look at how the blaming game starts. When God asked him, have you eaten the fruit I told you to not eat? You see, if Adam had said that day, yes, Father, I ate it. I take full responsibility for what has happened. Everything could have taken a total different direction. But look at what happened. Did you eat the fruit? Well, you should be asking yourself that question. Because I was here, I was fine. You decided to give me a wife. Meanwhile, I didn't even ask. If you can check my prayer point, I never put a woman in my prayer list. You decided on your own that I needed a wife. You even made me fall in a deep sleep that I didn't ask for. So I don't know why you are coming up with these questions. The woman you gave me, You are the one. So the first person man is blaming is God. And man hasn't changed. Man is blaming God all the time. The woman you gave me, she gave me the fruit and I ate. So he blamed God, then he blamed the woman. So God says, okay, you blame me, I understand. Let me turn to the next person you blame. So he put the whole blame on the woman. So God turns to the woman. So now it's up to you. If the woman has said, Lord, I'm the one who did it, I take full responsibility. From that moment, a woman was going to rule man. Why? Because whoever takes responsibility is in charge. So the man blames the woman, and the woman is asked, what happened? And the woman also decides, no, I'm not a fool. I'm also going to find somebody to add to this matter. The serpent, he deceived me. Then God jumps the woman. You see how it starts? Start with the man. The man jumps, comes to the woman. He comes to the woman. Then God jumps the woman now. He comes to the serpent. And when he reaches the serpent, we don't have the conversation of what happened. But I know, because we know how Satan became the God of this world. He became the God of this world that day. Why? Because Satan didn't blame anybody. Everybody blamed him. He took responsibility. Yes. I deceived them. From the moment Satan didn't blame anybody, he became in charge. Because the person who takes responsibility is in charge. But every time you blame a person for your misfortune, you are giving that person more power. You blame witches, they become more powerful. You blame wizards, they become more powerful. You blame the weather, you will be amazed how the weather will malax you. Take responsibility. Tell your neighbor, take full responsibility. It is so easy to say the witch and the wizards are fighting me. Why are some righteous lights not shining? Last week we saw reason number one. It is your past achievements. Do you remember that? Yes. Some lights are not shining because you did something great last week. And ever since you did that great thing, you fell asleep. You thought you have arrived. Imagine somebody who has a 40 chapter book. He is at introduction. But the introduction is so nice. They say, yeah, I think this is it. Or chapter one is so nice. And he keeps reading chapter one. Ask your neighbor, are you reading chapter one every day of your book? What are people reading? The same chapter? Every day? Move to the next, tell your neighbor, move to the next chapter. There is another chapter. Move to the next chapter. Am I preaching this morning? Oh, pastor, God bless me with a husband. Fantastic. Move to children. I started far. Oh, pastor, God bless me with a boyfriend. Fantastic. Move to the ring. Don't bring me the story of your boyfriend. Bring me a ring story. I said, bring me what? A ring story. And once you bring me the ring story, I will say, move to Linyalo story now.
There is always a brighter side to every story. It shines brighter and brighter. After Linyalo, push a bit to the honeymoon. Come on, somebody, push it to the honeymoon side. And do it well at the honeymoon. Play your part very powerfully. But don't stay in the honeymoon, my dear. Life is not a honeymoon. Don't come from the honeymoon and say, nah, but I remember the day you married me. You say, shut up. That chapter has passed. We are no more in that chapter. It's finished. Let me tell you something. There is nothing as two honeymoon. Honeymoon, honeymoon, finish. Let's come back. There is work to be done. You come back from honeymoon. Oh, Pastor, honeymoon was great. Start with the babies. Some of you, you have no business starting with the babies. Go and get a job. That's the next thing that must happen. You know, there is a lady in our country. A guy told her, you know, honey, I love you so much. She said, I don't eat love. Honey, I love you. I know you love me. I don't eat love. You see? What enters this stomach is not love. I'm carrying your child inside here. Your child doesn't eat love. Go get a job. So that is what needs to happen. I'm asking myself, what is the next phase of your life right now? What is supposed to be happening? The Bible says creation awaits, yes, for the manifestation, yes, of the children of God. Dear friends, we are God's children when? Now. And what we will be has not yet been revealed. There is something else that you can be after you are a child of God. And we saw that your achievements can be the obstacle why you can never become what we're supposed to be. I see people here. There are many Isaacs in this church this morning. Yes. I said there are many Isaacs in the church. Yes. Look at your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, don't let your milestone become your tombstone. Hallelujah. Amen. Never allow a milestone to become a tombstone. In other words, don't allow something you have achieved to become the only thing you will be known for. There is more. There is more to your life. You got a matric, great. Go to varsity. You went to varsity, get a degree. You got a degree, come out, do something else. Build a house. Get married. Start with family. Start a branch of ABC somewhere. Do something. You started a branch, great. Start another one. Hallelujah. There is always something greater to be done. Oh, Pastor, I'm already a mother. Work towards becoming a grandmother. Vuyo, I have played 3 scales. There are 7 scales, and there are more scales. Go a bit higher. Praise and worship, we have sung this song, this song. Look, they might not tell you. Some of your songs, they are tired of some of your songs. They will not tell you. Some of your songs, when you start, they say, we'll go again. That's another one. Lazy people. If I don't tell you, who will tell you? There is more that you can do. You can take the same song you sang last week and change it and sing it again, and people will not believe it's the same song. Do something more. You are the best praise and worship team in the world. Are you listening to me? We saw last week how a man called Isaac kept moving. No matter how much success he was having, it didn't stop him. It didn't stop him. But this morning, let's go to stage two. What is the other progress blocker? I call them enemies of progress. Enemy of progress number one, your past success. Enemy of progress number two, your past disappointment. Your past disappointment. Success can block you, but failure also can block you. There are people listening to me that have stopped moving because something went wrong. Something happened to them. And that thing that happened to them, ever since it happened, it changed them. And today, they are using that thing as the reason why they can never achieve anything else. When you talk to them, they have one and one story. In 1970, this happened to me, and ever since then, I mean, you guys all know my story in this life. I mean, it's difficult. Even God knows. You know, your past has a way of becoming your future. In other words, your past becomes the only thing people will ever know. May that never be your story. Where your life is trapped in your past. Do you know that anyone whose life is trapped in the past can't move further? The Bible talks of the woman called, the wife of Lot. God descended with a mighty victory, liberated them, herself and the husband and the children. But God gave one instruction. As you go, don't look back. And this woman moves. Halfway through the journey, she turns her head and looks back. And that was the end of her life. The Bible says she became a pillar of salt by looking back. I wonder how many pillars of salt I'm talking to this morning. People that have looked back. When I started driving, they told us, there is a reason why the windscreen is bigger than the rearview mirror. It's because the rearview mirror has to be small because you are not going backward. The windscreen is big because you are moving forward and you need to see everything in front of you because that's where you are going. Now, the rearview mirror is just to appraise and check how far you have gone from where you came from. That you can say is, when I remember what the Lord has done, I will never go back. So I just use the rearview mirror to see what the Lord has done. But I don't use the rearview mirror to say, I'm missing my past. Let me go back to my past. Never. I can never make a U-turn. I am moving forward ever. Backward, never. Some people, their windscreen is small and their rearview mirror is this big. It's a 59-inch screen TV. Every story is a past story. Making progress, shining brighter, is going to require that you overcome that disappointment, that you overcome that hurt, that you overcome that pain, that you overcome that thing that people did to you and nobody knows about it. Moving forward is going to mean I leave this thing behind me. When I remember what the Lord has done, I will never go back anymore. When I remember I will never
go back.
Hallelujah. Let it not just be a song. Let it be a decision from today. I will never go back anymore. I will never go back. I have made a decision. I am moving forward. I am reaching further. I will never go back. I will never go back. I will never go back. Let me help you this morning. Some of you think that you are in the Garden of Eden. Yes. Because whenever something bad happens to you, you are so surprised. You are so shocked. That this is not supposed to happen. I'm a Barcelona. I'm a tongue-talking, speaking, teaching Christian. This is not supposed to happen. Well, I'm sorry to tell you it will happen. I am not a prophet of doom. But Jesus himself said, in this life, you will have many tribulations. Many, many. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And the Bible says the victory that overcomes the world is your faith. I wonder where your life could be today if you were not living in that past hurt. If you didn't turn the fact that that guy rejected you, made it your life, left you with a child, and ran away. And today that child is the reason why you can't continue studying. That child is the reason why everybody must understand. I'm talking to you now. Your father didn't have enough money. Or your father left your mother. Or your father died. And that's the reason why today you are explaining mediocrity to us. I'm talking to you now. I took you to Isaac last week. I want to take you back to Isaac this week. Because Isaac is an interesting guy. Last week, Isaac showed you that your applause do not stop me. No matter how much you applaud, until I reach the destination, I will not stop running. But this week, Isaac is going to show you that your arrows cannot stop me. No matter how many arrows you shoot, I will keep moving. I will not look back. Come with me to Genesis 26, verse 19. The Bible says, then Isaac's slaves dug in the valley and found a well of spring water there. These guys, they didn't just bump into water. They worked hard. How many of you know that it's not easy to dig? Very difficult job. Digging for water. Digging. They finally found a spring of water in the place. Verse 20 tells us, but the herdsmen of Gera quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen and said, the water is ours. I want you to think about it. You have worked hard for something. There was nothing. When you entered the business was zero. No customer. When you started dating this guy, even the mother didn't want to have anything to do with him.
When you started the relationship with this lady, her father had rejected her. It was a dry land. You started digging things out of it. Now there is water. When you started this, your journey, nobody wanted you. But you started coming to ABC. And you started hearing the word. And you started digging out things out of your life. Now there is water. And the moment people see water, they come to their senses. The water is ours. After all your hard work. Now that this guy is looking nice, her old boyfriend that sacked her, now he comes back. Hey, Shimon. Let me tell you something. This is my girl, you understand? If you come close, I kill you. The girl is mine. The boy is mine. They even start writing songs. The moment customers are coming, business is booming, all of a sudden people change towards you. Immediately. All of a sudden, they are beginning to claim ownership. After your hard work. And it brings a quarrel. A quarrel means there is a strife, there is a misunderstanding, we are not seeing things eye to eye anymore. After your work, what will you do? The water is ours. So he named the well Quarrel, because they quarrel with him. You know, I want you to start naming things. When you come out of here, you go home, you say, from today, you are Quarrel. You are Disappointment. You, Liar. You, Thief. Name them, but don't live in them. Amen? Verse 21. Then they dug another well. Tell your neighbor, learn to dig another well. You worked hard. Somebody came and took it from you. Learn to move to the next day. Don't stay in there and cry for the rest of your life. There is another well you can dig, somebody. Dig another well. Start another business. Find another boy. Find another girl. Hey! Can I tell you something? Isaac had every right to stay and fight at Quarrel. But Isaac knew, for my light to shine brighter, I need to keep moving further. I need to keep moving further. I have dug a well, they claim and took it from me. But I'm not going to stop here. I'm going to take another step. I'm going to press on. I'm going to move on. I have to move on. And I will dig another well. Tell your neighbor, dig another well. Please, dig another well. Dig another well. Dig another well. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. They hurt me so bad. You know, they did this to me. I understand. Dig another well. The only explanation, the only advice I can give you today, don't sit in counseling for the rest of your life. Dig another well. Can I help you? Digging another well will help you to even forget about the counseling.
Some of us, the reason why you are a ICU Christian, high intensity, high care. Okay, ICU is what? Intensive care. You are ICC, intensive care Christian. Why? Huh? ICC. Yeah. You are not ICC. You will never be ICC for the rest of your life. There is a person I'm talking about. He's not in this church. He's ICC. Intensive care Christian. You must always have intensive pipes. What is this? Oxygen and the pipes. Called the drips. Yeah, drips. You are coming to church with drips. A drip here, drip here, drip at the back, drip on the head. And you are carrying your 3 bottles of oxygen with you. No wonder when I say something, you can't talk because you are heavy. Everything is heavy. You are carrying 3 bottles of oxygen. You are having pipes and drips all over the body. High care. High care. Can't advance, can't do anything. Ever since they took that well from you, you have become into, you entered a high care level. High care. I remember one day, my wife went to the bank to get some money. And it was a considerable sum of money. I'm telling you. She took the money, entered the car. After that, she drove to a certain place to sort out something. She came back, entered the car to go to the place where she was supposed to go and deposit, give that money. From the moment she entered the car to the place where she's going to deposit the money disappears. And I'm not talking about 500. Or maybe, at least I'm not talking about 5,000. And I'm not talking about 10,000. I said, hey, you think it's a small story? Listen. And I'm not talking about 15,000. Yes. So put 10,000 away. Put 15,000 away. Put 20,000 away. You are waking up now, you see. I'm talking about a sum of money that was beyond 20,000. It has disappeared. This is the first time you hear me mentioning it in this church. You'll be surprised that the next Sunday I came here and I preached as if nothing happened. And the thing that we're supposed to do happened without that money. Why? Because I refuse to sit in a well somebody took from me and make that my destiny. I refused. Can we just limit the movements to allow me to finish my preaching? Yeah. The next well, they quarreled over that one also. He named it hostility. I'm sure by now some people will have given up. Quarrel and hostility is enough to deflate any interested person to success. But not Isaac. I say not Isaac. And not you. 22. He moved from there. You have to learn to move from there. Move from there. You have dug a well. They came for it. You moved. They dug another one. You move from there. You don't stay there and make your tombstone there. Move from there. You dated the first one, he cheated, you ran away. You went to the next one, he now became double cheater. Move from there. Don't kill yourself. Am I communicating to the right people? Move from there. Konta pashele manda kalamando lebala. Move from there. Don't stay in a place where you are being fought. He moved from there and dug another well. Oh, this guy is determined. I'm telling you something. When you read the Bible, look at the Bible in another eye.
And ask yourself, if these things were happening to you, what were you going to do? He dug the first well, they came and took it. He moved. Dug the second well, they came again. He moved and dug another well altogether. My God. The Bible says, and you like Isaac. And you like Isaac. My God. He dug another one. They did not quarrel over it. He named it Open Spaces. Ooh. Open Spaces. Can I tell you something? Today people are fighting you over one boyfriend, over one girlfriend. A day is coming when you will say, this is not my open spaces. You can't fight it. You can't fight it. I have defeated you. Do you know why they couldn't fight him? Because your enemies can only rise until degree number two. You usually give up while they are still strong. The Bible says, Moses went in the presence of this man. Do you understand? Moses did the first miracle. Threw the stick down. The stick became, the rod became a snake. Do you remember the story? Pharaoh says, this is a miracle. Are you crazy? He called his magicians. The magicians also threw their snakes, their rod, and the rod also became snakes. So now the Lord wanted to show them that I'm more powerful. So his snake ate all the other guy. Amen? Then Moses went again. He went to the Nile, put a rod, and it became water. Pharaoh says, do you think this is something? He called his guys. They also did the same thing. But when Moses went to plague number three, do you understand? When he went to plague number three, the magicians of Egypt were deflated. They couldn't match. Now, the good thing is, Moses didn't stop at plague number three. Just because these guys are now deflated, I'm stopping here. No, he went to number four. Then he went to number five. Then he went to number six. Kapashute. Then he went to number seven. Then he went to number eight. By now, they are dead. They are buried. But he continued rising because... You say, listen. Some of you, the moment this person stops fighting you, you relax. Yeah. The moment the person in the company that was fighting you is no more fighting you, Jesus, you relax. It's as if you have won. Moses said, I didn't come to fight you. I came to rise. So you were just standing on the way. I needed to clear you, but that is not the objective while I'm here. Let me give you four. Let me give you five. Let me give you six. Let me give you seven. Let me give you eight. Let me give you nine. Let me give you 10. Sometimes what you think is the enemy is not the enemy. It's a distraction. The real enemy is behind. That's why you have to continue rising. You have to continue shining. As you rise, you will be surprised there are new enemies that are going to start coming and you didn't know they even existed. Open spaces. Open spaces. Once you enter your open space, your enemies are too small. They can't reach there. Many people stop at quarrel. And some bull from quarrel, they enter hostility and they stop. But there are few. I'd say, no way. I came here for water. I must get water. And I'm going to get water. One way or the other. And to your greatest surprise, you've entered your open space. Everybody here has an open space. Everybody. The Bible says, I will make you be high above all the nations. It's an open space. There is a place for you, my brother. If you could just break out of that offense and that bitterness and that thing that happened to you, if you could just allow God to deal with it. Now it says, he named it, opens, it said, for now the Lord has made room for us. We will be fruitful in that land. You are fighting for quarrel. There is no fruitfulness in quarrel. There is no fruitfulness in hostility. Fruitfulness is in your open space, Rehoboth. That is where your fruitfulness is. Let me close by telling you this. Genesis 41, verse 51. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, meaning God has made me forget all my hardship in my father's house. Why does God make people forget hardship? Because a person that is going to reign cannot reign with bitterness in the heart. You kill everybody. God has made me forget. I have heard people say, I will forgive you, but I will never forget. And you are right. On your own, you can never forget. On your own. You can never forget because what they did to you, they did it deep inside. It's like an arrow that entered your heart deep. You cannot forget. But that is why you have a God. That's why you have a God. God's job is to make you forget. God can make you forget something bad that happened to you. Completely. Now, the reason why you have to forget it, because if you don't forget it, it will control the rest of your life. There is a young man I knew years ago, and I noticed that this young man had a fear problem, always. And he used to be afraid when he sees another person that we both knew. So one day I asked him, why are you always afraid of this guy? Pastor, I will tell you. One day, we are driving together. He says to me, Pastor, you asked me something. I want to tell you something that nobody knows. And he says to me, you see, that guy, when we were small, he molested me sexually. I said, what? He said, that guy, nobody knows about it, but he did this to me. I said, wow. That's why you're always, I said, yes. It was quiet in the car. I didn't know what to do. I didn't expect such a thing. And I said to him, you know what? We have to break out of this. If this thing stays with you, this will be your life. This is going to be your life. You will never be able to do anything. The first step you took today by telling me is a great step. But we need to break out of it. And by God's grace, I want to believe that the Lord has helped him. Wherever he is. He is no more with me these days, but wherever he is, I believe God has helped him. Praise God. Amen. God is called the healer of broken hearts. God doesn't just heal the body. God heals the broken heart. Actually, Jehovah Rapha is, you see, the Spirit of the Lord, he has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. In this life, your heart will be broken quite a few times. And you can choose to come to church full of anger and leave church full of anger. You can choose to pretend that all is well, but you know deep down, somebody pierced my heart with a knife. With a knife. And I've lived with this. Joy has left. Peace left long time ago. I'm just managing my life now. I'm just managing. If I take you through the things that happened to Joseph, you will understand that it took God to heal his heart. It took God. From the moment the hostility, the betrayal, the rejection, the selling out, the accusation, there is so much that happened to this young man that his heart, his little heart, his innocent heart was crushed and crushed and crushed and crushed repeatedly. But every single step, lo and behold, Joseph will just move a little bit further. Why? God kept healing his heart. God kept healing his heart. May you allow God to heal your heart. Let him heal your heart. I know your heart has been broken, but he says, God has made me forget. Like when you tell me about that thing today, it's like you are telling me something I don't know. I forgot it. It means it doesn't have power over me anymore. I can talk about it. It doesn't matter. I'm broken. God broke it out of now. Look, verse 52. And the second son he named Ephraim, meaning God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. After your healing comes the fruit. Not before, after. He will heal you. Then he will make you fruitful. Fruitful means you will develop, you will progress, you will have increase. And that is the result of healing. Amen? Are you with me? Raise your right hand and say, Lord, heal my heart today. Raise it high and say, Lord, heal my heart today. Philippians 3 verse 13, we are closing. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, reaching forward to what is ahead. Forgetting what is behind, reaching forward. You cannot reach forward if you are looking backward. Forgetting what is behind. The reason many people cannot reach forward is because they haven't forgotten what is behind. It's still alive in their hearts and in their lives. It is the reason why they can't move. They are stuck there. My last verse, Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. Can we read it together? 1, 2, 3, read. Do not do what? Do not remember the past events. Don't keep reminding yourself. And some of you, that's why after this service, you need to go home and separate yourself from certain things that remind you of certain things. Is it a dress you have that keeps you in the past? Is it a song on your playlist that keeps you in the past? Is it a gift you have? Every time you see it, you remember somebody. How can you move forward as long as these elements are still in your life? That's why whatever I preach here, the moment you enter that room, you enter the past. Some of you need to change flats. You need to actually go and rent in another place. Because of the things that used to happen in the place where you are renting. That's why you are stuck. You can't move because every time you enter that room, everything just comes back.
can't move. The Bible says he moved from there. Oh, Pastor, it's too costly. It's more costly to stay there than to move from there. Listen to me. It's more costly to stay in that place than to move from that place. Are you listening to me? Let's go again together. Ready, read. Do not remember. Hallelujah. The Lord says, I'm about to do something new. Do you know what stops the new? The old. Yes. Be like a river. Let it flow. Tell your neighbor, let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Take control. Let it flow, please. Let it flow. Let it flow. Amen? Let it flow. When you let it flow, you make room for new rivers, new waters. When you get it stuck, new water cannot go there. The miracles of God, look, I will make a way in the wilderness. I will make rivers in the desert. That is a miracle. I mean, God is going to do a miracle for you. But you have to let go of the past. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, God has spoken to you. The choice is yours. You're going to decide to either let go or to keep holding on to that thing and to make it the excuse why something new cannot come. But I'm here to tell you, I know, everybody listening to me, you've been broken many times. You've been disappointed many times. People took advantage of you many times. People abused you many times. I know why, because I'm also on earth and it happens to me all the time. People abuse your generosity and your goodness and they manipulate you. And they try to take advantage of your Christianity, even your faith. People will abuse it many times. But in the midst of this, you need to tell yourself, I have not reached my open space. I have to continue moving forward. I cannot get stuck here in the cemetery. Let me move a bit ahead. Hallelujah. It will interest you to know one day you will reach a place and it will be your open space. You will look on your left and there will be nothing to worry about. And the people that hurt you will come back to you for help. Like it happened with Joseph. And the moment they realize who you are and the power you now have, they will be afraid. And then you will say to them, listen, don't be afraid. You did it to hurt me. But God used it to elevate me. You were intending to destroy me. That's what your intention. But you didn't know that God was going to use what you were doing. Now, if you didn't hate me, you are not going to throw me in the pit. And if you didn't throw me in the pit, you were not going to sell me to the Ishmaelite. And if you didn't sell me as a slave, I was never going to come to Egypt for free. I came to Egypt without paying. Free ride. Most of the bad things that are happening to you right now are actually taking you to your open space. It looks like it's confusing, but I'm telling you, it's actually taking you to the palace. Every pit, every prison, every accusation, everything. Romans 8:28, never forget it. God is able to make all things work together for your good because you trust him. You let him heal you. God says, okay, my daughter, now that you have allowed me to take care of this situation, let me now show you what I was trying to do because of this situation. Oh, Lord, so you are using this bad thing to take me here. Yes, my daughter. And now I'm going to take you even further. I'm going to allow this guy to come. And he will think like he's breaking your heart. But by him breaking your heart, you're going to go to church. And while you are at the church, I'm going to heal your heart. And by the time I finish, you will not be over there. Some of you, if it wasn't because of what happened, you were never going to hear what I'm talking about today. A lot of us, there was never going to be a need to go to church. He works all things together for your good.
Yours is to trust him. Trust him. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to be your own avenger. They hurt me, they must pay. Can I tell you something? If you want to see wickedness, God can be the most wicked person. Let me tell you something. You don't know God. It's because you don't know God that God is good. That when God decides to be wicked, you don't want to be where the wickedness is going. Do you understand? He told Saul, go and wipe out everybody. Babies, animals, wipe everybody. You want to see wickedness? You want to see God avenging? Let him do it. Don't try to do it. When you try to do it, you mess it up. When he does it, you will have to come back and say, Lord, hey, you know, I think it's enough now, please. Just let them be. I think it's enough. God will be terrorizing people. You will not believe what is happening. You will say, Lord, please, I know you are avenging me, but please, forgive. So it's because you don't know the vengeance of God. That's why you try to avenge yourself. Let him do it. Trust him. Hallelujah. But when you are purified, you shall be white and purer than gold. And your value will increase. And the grace of God on you will be more. You will command more power. When you reach to a place, you say one word, things start happening. And people don't understand. Because you've gone through something. I will never forget the words of Bishop Duncan Williams. He said, I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how many rooms are in your house. What I care about, what have you been through? What have you survived? What have you survived? I want to know. Tell me, what did you survive? That's what I care about. Because great men are not great because they have a house. They are great because they have survived something. Something that was supposed to kill them. But they came out of it and they are still standing. They are still alive. They have survived. They have made it. Do you know why I worship Jesus? He survived the tomb, my brother. He entered there and we all thought it's over. He said, it's not over until I say it's over. Good morning, everybody. I'm back. Shalom. People start running. I see people running on your account because they thought it is over. No, I'm going. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to survive this. I'm going to survive this. I'm a survivor. I'm going to make it. I'm going to move forward. I will not die in the tomb. I will not die in the valley. I will reach my open spaces. On your feet, everybody. On your feet, on your feet. Begin to thank God. Open your mouth. Just begin. There's an anointing in this house right now. An anointing for open spaces.